the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over the Blackhawks' last two games against Boston and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Marian Hossa had his number retired, which was an awesome ceremony. And we'll get into some NHL news. So first off, Hawks got spanked by Boston, 6-1. Hey, Matt, what's the deal with Boston? Haven't they won like 11 in a row at home?
Yeah, 11 in a row at home. Their overall record is 16-2. They're having a great season. I honestly didn't see this. I thought they would have taken a step back. But, man, that top six is really playing well for these guys.
Yeah, I did too. You know, I saw them kind of aging out, but that doesn't seem to be the case. They made a couple changes in the offseason, and it seems to be paying off quite well. You know, and to be honest with you, it seems like the East is rolling pretty well right now, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Hawks lost 6-1. Jonathan Toews with the only goal in the night. You know, Soderblom, the game was pretty close until like maybe what was that, the second period? And that's when Boston really started pulling away.
Yeah, Mrazek played yesterday.
Right. He
played okay. Boston was just good, man. They're just a good team.
Yeah, they're firing on all cylinders. And there's something that I want to talk about is Caleb Jones. You know, Caleb Jones, I think that he has a lot of talent. I think that he's playing the wrong position because I don't think that he defends very well. Last year, when I watched him play, it seemed that, you know, maybe he was taking a step in the right direction, his development. And I thought that, you know, I saw something in him. This year, unless he's our Connor Bedard, you know, insurance policy to make sure that we're losing games, he's not defending well. And but I do think that there is talent there. I think the Hawks should maybe take a swing and put this guy at left wing. What do you think of that, Matt?
A left wing with Rockford or the Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks. Give him a shot at left wing. I think he can move the puck pretty well, man.
Yeah, I don't like him on defense at all. He pinches way too much. He gets caught, never can recover. Maybe if you put him on like the fourth line where there's kind of less responsibility, yeah, it could benefit him. But, you know, I just don't see him being, you know, a national player. I think he's probably going to be sent down eventually, or, you know, maybe his contract will expire and he'll end up signing somewhere else, but I think he's a minor league player.
Yeah, and especially with Ian Mitchell coming up to the big club, he had a couple games down in Rockford, was blowing it up there. I think he had like 3 power play points the other day, and they brought him up. First game back was against Boston. I didn't think he looked bad, man.
No, he looked fine. It's just not a really good team to start your debut against. It's just a very powerful Boston team. You're not going to really, you know, I don't think the Hawks got too many power play opportunities, but Boston is just way too good top six for him to be playing defense out there, especially his first game back after an injury. It's going to take him a little bit to get in the flow of it. But yeah, I would have liked to see him play against a team that is, you know, not so top heavy.
With Seth Jones out right now, do you think it'd be a good idea to just give Mitchell as many minutes as possible?
I think eventually they're going to kind of, they want to see what this kid's got. I mean, they've given all these kids opportunities. So far, no one's really taken the bull by the horns here. And I know Roos has got an opportunity. Regula's had the chance. And it's just, you know, none of these guys really are, you know, showing anybody anything like they want it. So yeah, eventually I think when Jones gets back, he's going to be playing big minutes, but it's kind of similar to Soderblom. Sorry, that's how they pronounce it. But I mean, like, why not put him out there? He's playing every other game. It's good. I do the same thing with our defense. Put him out there and give him some challenging minutes and see what they can do.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I don't know if you noticed in the Boston game, but it didn't seem like he was necessarily shy with the puck. He seemed to be moving it, you know, pretty confidently. He was skating pretty well. Obviously, Hawks lost that game, so I want to jump into tonight's game versus Penguins, which is much more competitive. Hawks were down 3-0 at one point, stormed back to tie it up. But, you know, Ian Mitchell, I thought, looked pretty good out there, man. What do you think?
Yeah, he was noticeable, number 51. He was looking good out there, moving the puck around. And just, you know, but they kind of, when you start like they did, you're trailing from behind. It's hard to come back from. You're on your heels, and you can't give up goals like that early. They gotta buckle down and, you know, tighten up early and make sure you're skating neck and neck with these guys. Well, if you give these teams, like these really good elite teams, just an early lead like that, that's just momentum they're going to feed off the rest of the game. And I think Sharpie actually said that with Boston. Or I'm sorry, no, Luke Richardson said it. He goes, if you don't play against Boston a full 60, that, or like if you play 59 minutes against them, that minute will kill you. And you gotta play a full 60 minutes. I know the last two games, I don't think the Hawks were very, you know, as good as they have been. I thought Coach Richardson has actually had them playing very well. Like, they're playing a full 60. They're competing. These last two games, they didn't look like they were, they took some shifts off. Even Jonathan Taves tonight, not like him to just give a turnover like that. And Kane at the end of the game, just a very lazy play to, it was about 10 seconds left. He just kind of threw it off the boards lazy. And, Pittsburgh went and scored that open netter and just kind of sealed the night. But yeah, they gotta get back on it where they're playing tough 60 minutes. Can't take a shift off with a roster like this. You're not very talented. You gotta play hard and grind it out.
Kaner, Kyra, and Kurashev were the ones with the goals tonight versus Pittsburgh. Hawks lose 5-3. I'll tell you what, man, Kurashev looked very noticeable. And, you know, I think that he's looked noticeable all year. Do you think that he is finally coming into his own on this team?
I think that goal he scored tonight was, you know, hey, why not? Throw sure. it in front of the net, you never know. And, hey, look, he tied the game. But, yeah, he has been noticeable. I know we've been kind of tough on him. I think he's got 8 points this year. You know, he's a minus 10, not that great. But the team's not that good. But he does look like he has found a spot in the top six on this team, in my opinion. I think I like the Kane, Anthony Seu, and Domi line. I think that's fine. I like, you know, what each guy brings. So you got Domi, who's got the toughness, and he could score. He proved he could score. Anthony Seu, obviously, he's a speedster, and Kaner is Kaner. But Taves with Kurashev and Radish, that's actually a very solid line. I like that.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I really like that line, too. I think that it kind of gives you a little bit of everything there. You know, you got speed with Kurashev. Taves can still play make. And, you know, he's been shooting the puck quite a bit. I think he's got 8 goals on the season. And Taylor Radish, man, you know, I think that he's a guy who's looking to kind of take the next step. But, He just hasn't really gotten there yet. With Taylor Radish's play this season, do you think that he's a guy who's kind of primed to take that next step?
Yeah, I think that he was actually a big part of that Hagel trade. I think that Davidson really liked him, and I think since he's come here, he's been productive. You know, he's very noticeable every game. Honestly, man, you know what? I noticed this game, in the last couple games, actually. I don't notice Lafferty at all, like I did at the beginning of the season. This guy is a force out there, you know, and the last two games, I think I seen today, I seen him make one good solid hit in the offensive zone, and that was it. I didn't see him, and I noticed they put him to the wing. I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Yeah, I saw that they moved him to the wing. I also noticed that he won a few face-offs today that I think that there were defensive zone faceoffs that he won. I was pretty surprised with. But, you know, like you said, I mean, I don't think that he's, you know, hitting everybody in sight anymore. You know, maybe they've told him to, like, hey, you know, it's an 82-game season type of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But I saw him win a couple good playoffs. I mean, I'm sorry, a couple good faceoffs today. And I thought that he was a center. But they've got him kind of playing wing a little bit.
I think Dickinson is playing center for him, but with him, his game is that you know, Adam Burrish like style, like, hey, I'm going to hit everything that I can. I'm going to put pressure on these guys to either move the puck or they're going to get hit. And We need that out of him, and I'm not sure, like you said, if they told him, hey, you got to let up a little bit, or maybe he's injured, but I really don't understand that, because the Hawks were very solid when Lafferty was out there doing his thing.
The Lafferty, Dickinson, and Kurashev line, I thought, was for a while the best line that we had.
Yeah, getting shorties every game and, you know, putting up points, that's what you got to ask for from your shutdown guys. They're shutting down guys and putting up points, so it really hasn't been happening in the last couple games.
Yeah. So, Matt, have you seen any improvements on the goaltending end for the Blackhawks?
You know, I think the goaltending has been okay. I mean, the scores aren't really showing it, you know, giving up, today we gave up 5 and yesterday we gave up 6, but I really haven't seen any bad ones. The only bad goal I've seen today was the goal Kurashev scored. That's a goal that can't go in, but that's for the Penguins. I think it was DeSmith, is he in net or whatever, whoever it was, but that was like the only weak goal of the night I saw, and I thought Soderblom was okay. I thought he made some really big saves.
I thought he did too.
And I said earlier, I like that he's playing every other game, and I think that's the right approach with him. You don't ride him, you know, 5 straight games. Just why not keep switching him and Mrazek? It's good, you know. Like, hey, I got time to mentally prepare for a game. I know I'm playing this game. And the next game I'm off, unless I'm going in on relief. And that's for me, when I was playing, I love to know when I was playing, like, hey, you're going this game. And it's good for a goalie to, you know, okay, you're going to be off this game. You're going this game, every other game. Mentally prepare yourself. And it's good for a young goalie to have that, because if you're throwing them in there, like I think what Philly's done to that Carter Hart, it's tough on some guys, man. It mentally can hurt you.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's good for, you know, he doesn't have any pressure on him. It's like, hey, man, look, Stalak's out. Go out and just play, you know. And Mrazek, it's like, you know what, Mrazek, we're going to give you some time off because obviously you have injury issues. We're not playing for a Stanley Cup this year. We're looking to make it through the season. We're looking for Soderblom to get his, get used to playing in the league, you know, getting into a full season. He was supposed to be playing in Rockford this year. That's not happening. He's obviously playing in the big league. And you know what? He's playing well, man. I think that he's playing as well as could be expected for someone that's in his position. So
I think he's the better of the two right now. Sure. And you know what? That's good.
Or three.
Would you say three? For sure. Stalak, he competes. I like it. He's just old. And he doesn't move as well as these other guys. And the last podcast with Dom, I was saying this guy is Soderblom is silky smooth, man, from post to post. He's really solid. And he makes some highlight reel saves actually too. And
you know, he had one goal went off of his skate as he was going post to post, and he just barely missed the save on it. I think that was the third goal. Yeah. That was the third Penguins goal.
It was at Carter. Jeff Carter.
Yeah, I think it was from the corner.
Oh, Raquel. It was that power play set up by Crosby, I think. Right. Yeah.
And he went post to post.
That's a very hard save to make because you got to commit to the guy with the puck first. And he was committed to Crosby. And, you know, you got to respect him.
Which you should.
You got to respect that. And that pass was an absolute rocket. And it came off Raquel's stick even faster than the pass. So those are hard. The best goalies in the league don't stop those. But you know what? I like how fast he is. Some goalies, like Stalak, if that happened to him, I think Stalak would have ended up on the sideboards because he would still be sliding so much. He'd look like a fish out of water. But yeah, I love his movement. He's so smooth. He recovers really well. And I don't know who the goalie coach is. Is it Stefan Waite still?
I thought it was.
Or is it Jimmy Waite, whatever, whoever it is.
I thought it was Stefan. Wait.
They're doing a great job with him. I really like the way he's playing.
Let me look that up really quick.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know Stefan Waite was the goalie coach for a while, but I think that they moved him to when Mark Bergevin took over.
Jimmy Waite.
Is it Jimmy Waite? Okay. Yeah. Jimmy Waite was a solid goalie back in the day. And they're doing a great job with him. They got to keep it up and manage his games right, and I think we're going to see good things in the future from him.
Before we go on any further, I'm going to give a quick word from our sponsor to the hockey fans out there. Light the lamp up this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at even bigger payout. Now, what you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code ShyTomahawk, bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code ChicagoTomahawk. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. Now, Matt, Marian Hossa. Not enough can be said about this guy, man, because, you know, I remember playing NHL back in the day and I would always trade for him, you know, on my on my team to play on the Hawks, dude. And, you know, he goes to, he goes to the Penguins, goes to Detroit, and then I started dating my wife. And, you know, the Blackhawks lost to Detroit in the Western Conference Finals. Really young team, you know. And I was like, man, I had gotten out of the Army three years before that, you know. And I was, you know, back into hockey because I could watch it, you know, consistently. And I'm like, man, I told her we were sitting at the ESPN Sports Zone in Chicago. And, you know, we went and got dinner. And as a date, I took her there to watch the Blackhawks game.
Good date.
Yeah. And, you know, she was into it, man. And I told her, I was like, you know what? This team is something special. These kids have got something. You know, they end up losing to, you know, the Red Wings in the Western Conference Finals. And then they sign Patrick Kane. They sign Marian Hossa. And then in the ESPN, ESPN magazine, they had a cover with Marian Hossa, Jonathan Toews, and Patrick Kane on it. And I was like, man, dude, what a killer squad right there, you know? And it's like, I cannot believe that, as a Blackhawks fan, that they're on the cover of ESPN magazine. Because when is, other than being, you know, some people talking shit about the Blackhawks, you know, do you ever see the Blackhawks anywhere? Which is when they were winning cups, it was so great for all these other, you know, media outlets to be eating crow because they had the report on the Blackhawks winning and beating, you know, these their favorite teams like Detroit which was huge. Anyways, Marian Hossa coming to the Blackhawks is what solidified the Blackhawks in being the next thing. Even though Detroit won, they were old and their time was limited. And the Blackhawks were young and they needed one more piece to solidify them as contenders. They got Marian Hossa, man. And you know what? The very next season, 3 years was a charm for him. The Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. And he was huge, huge for them, man. Huge. Not just in 2010, but as a leader for the Blackhawks while he was on the team between 2009. And they had it listed as 2018, but I think the last season he played was 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years after that first round exit we got. I think against Nashville, was it?
Yeah, that was rough. Yeah. But what a freaking guy, man! Yeah. Played offense, was phenomenal on defense. Was a guy who you can model yourself after. You know, total professional, kept his body in shape. I mean, he was a hoss, man. Talk about a guy you just couldn't get him off the puck. What would you say is your favorite? I want to say Marian Hossa story, but why don't you give us your take on Marian Hossa as a fan watching him through those, you know, through those glory years?
Well, I remember we signed him, and there was room. Actually, if you remember, there was a rumor the year before that the Hawks were going to sign Hossa and Brian Campbell. And I remember when we signed Brian Campbell the year before, I was pumped, man. I love this guy. Yeah. I still love Campbell. You know, a lot of people, you know, Oh, that contract sucks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you know what? When's the last time a Hawk landed, or the Hawks landed, like a top free agent like Brian Campbell?
Yeah.
And I think Brian Campbell really opened the doors for more free agents to come, you know? But, you know, we didn't sign Hossa that year. He ended up going with the Red Wings that 1 year, and it's like, God damn, can you imagine if we got Hossa that year?
Yeah.
We didn't, and I remember the first game of the season. Maybe a couple games in. I just remember hosting that Red Wing jersey, and I think we ended up playing the Red Wings. We took them to a shootout, and I just remember Hossa skating on Hobby Bullen and just teeing one up and scoring, blowing it right by him and winning the game. And I'm just, man, I wish we had this dude. If we can only get a guy like him, we'd get over the hump, you know? So next year comes along, Hossa loses again in the final. And it's like, wow, this dude is a freaking jinx. You know, he got traded to Pittsburgh, lost to the Red Wings. He goes to the enemy side next year. He loses to them. And so we sign him, and I'm like, oh, geez. So are we going to lose this year in the final? You know, it's like, it's kind of like with Corey Perry, you know, what he's going through the recent couple of years, but not
1 year too, 1 year too late.
It's amazing. But then, you know, he signed with the Hawks, a huge deal. And I'm like, hell yeah. I mean, this is amazing. And he's out with a shoulder injury, and oh, he's not coming back till around Thanksgiving. So I just remember waiting and waiting and waiting. And then that first game came, I think it was against the San Jose Sharks. I want to say like his first 5 minutes in, he scores a shorthanded goal. And I'm like, damn, dude, he just blew by everybody. And then I just remember the Hawks, like, they took over that game. And the Sharks were like the favorite to win the cup. And I think it was like a 7-2 final score. Hawks scored three shorthanded goals that game. I think Sharpie and Brower got one, and then Hossa got the other one. And I just remember, like, holy, this is amazing. We got that final piece, and you know what? He lived up to the hype, man. And you know what? I didn't know his two-way game. Like, I didn't think he was that good. Like, as defensively, I thought he was just an offensive force. You know, he was just came off a 40-goal season, but this guy was like a Selke-like player, and I didn't know that. I thought he was, you know, more of a just one-dimensional offensive guy, but he was like, in his years here, he was on the penalty kill, killing penalties with Taves, I remember. Those guys were great. Yeah.
They were practically staying out after killing penalties, going on the power play, because they were both on the top unit.
And like you said, you can't take the puck away from the guy. The guy would skate around circles and regroup, and go dump the puck in and kill an extra 40 seconds off a penalty. It's insane.
Try and put the body on him, you'll just bounce off of him.
No, he was just an awesome player to watch. But my favorite moment is probably, I would say, 95% of everyone's favorite moment, when he took that five-minute major against Dan Hamhuis, round one of 2010. You know, Hossa is not a dirty player. He is not. No, it was not. It was a weird, like, he kind of extended his arms on Hamhuis. Hamhuis took a nasty fall. 5 minute major, sitting in the box. You know, it's like, oh man, we're gonna lose to Nashville. It's like a big jinx, you know. And you know, Kaner ends up stealing a pass from Erat, tying the game in the third period. I just remember, I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting in my seat. What the frick just happened? We just pulled our goalie shorthanded, 5-on-5. Erat gave the puck right to Kane, and we scored. What the hell? We're going to overtime. And then I remember we're killing the penalty off. Dave Bolin working his magic, gets it to Brent Sopel. Brent Sopel fires it on net. Hossa's right there to bury it for the rebound. Hawks win, go to Nashville, beat them,
close them out,
go to the next series in Vancouver. It's like one of the best goal celebrations I've ever seen. He's on his knees, pumping his fists, and what an awesome. It was just awesome, man.
Couldn't believe
just
it. Because of that penalty he took, he probably felt terrible about
just,
it.
Oh, man, that's got to be the worst feeling in the world, sitting in the box for 5 minutes like, oh, dude, what the I let my teammates down. I can't believe this.
Oh, yeah, especially after losing in the finals 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and people are thinking like, oh, we just signed this freaking playoff jinx, you know, and he comes out of the box, scores the game winner. Amazing. And then the rest is history. We run into freaking Vancouver. they're pretending they're all tougher than the Hawks. The Hawks just, Dustin Buff, you know, shows up. Lalongo's, what's Superman's guy, Lex Luthor, his kryptonite, yeah. and then that was it. And, you know, Kane are obviously beating Philadelphia, and Taves getting the cup first, handing it right off to Hossa. That's another good moment. It's kind of reminds you like Ray Bourque, you know, all those years in Boston suffering, and Joe Sakic wins the cup, or gets the cup first, hands it right over to Ray Bourque. He's like, finally, I can hoist this, you know. I'm sure it was a huge load off Hossa. It's like, oh, finally got it. And then it's a bonus. We get to see two more cups with him. It was what an amazing career with the Hawks he had.
Gosh, man. You know, it's funny to see Patrick Sharp. They were interviewing him after the ceremony. And, you know, he was essentially, he had the night off. And he was like, he's like, yeah, you know, it was great to, you know, for all these guys, you know, the seven of them that won three cups together. And he's like, yeah, we've got some of the old boys in the suite. We're going to have a good time tonight. I can only imagine, man, what kind of time those guys are going to be having tonight. Oh, yeah. I saw, you know, obviously Hammer was in there. Who else did I see in there? One of my favorite players, man, Hammer's partner.
Oduya.
Forgot his name.
Oduya, yeah, Johnny Oduya.
Johnny Oduya was in there.
Burrish.
Yeah. I think Burrish was in there, and the Mutt was in there.
Andrew Ladd too.
Ladd was in there. Man, they had all the boys together. Only guy that they were, well, I won't say the only guy, but one of the guys they were missing was probably Big Buff. And
yeah, he's too big.
And Crow was in there, man.
Yeah, I did see Corey Crawford. He didn't have the Hossa shirt on. He wasn't.
He did. I thought that he did. I could have sworn that he did.
He wasn't rocking. He didn't have the ribbon like from Seinfeld. He won't wear the ribbon. Okay. No, he's just a weird goalie. So there's nothing. He's there for support. That's all that matters. Good to see Crow. I heard a lot of things about him recently. A lot of rumors of. He's just absolutely done with hockey. You know, he's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he mentally just drained. I think he had some concussion issues, and it's got to be tough, man. I'm glad people are kind of not bugging him to, you know, come back and get in front of the camera and stuff like, you know, all these other guys are doing, like these ex-Hawks and stuff. And
Well, they probably give these guys the opportunity because
he's probably just drained.
Some of these dudes, man, they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Scott Darling's a character.
I like him, man. I really like him on there.
He's a funny dude.
He's going to be the MVP of this of the man because he seems like so natural. He's not stiff. He kind of lets his personality out there. And to be honest with you, I think Chris Foster's is actually doing a pretty good job, man.
I just don't like his goal call. It doesn't make sense.
I don't either.
It doesn't make sense.
The problem is that, you know, he's stepping in from Pat Foley, dude. That's just an impossible position to be in. You know,
well, and, when you're calling a goal, like say you're watching TV with your kids, say Kaner's coming down the lane, he shoots, he scores. Chris Foster says a shot and a score. Like, what is that? It just drives me crazy. It's like it looks like you don't know what you're doing when you say stuff like that.
Sure.
And he said it again tonight. And you know what else he said that really pissed me off? Sidney Crosby has never scored against the Blackhawks at the United Center at least 13 times. And yeah, what's going to happen if you keep saying that
I
shit?
Know, man.
Boom, Crosby scores. It's like, dude.
Quite. Almost
it's like
twice.
You were rooting for it, bro. Like, oh my God. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse.
No, he's not. He's a nice guy. He's good. Yeah. He's doing a good job. Like you said, he's not Pat Foley. He's never going to be Pat Foley. But you know, he's a likable guy. I think Troy Murray's brilliant. I've always loved Troy out there. He's doing a good job. He knows what he's talking about. I don't know if you listened to the last 30 seconds. Troy's like, no, you got to get a guy on the boards when you're winning a faceoff. You got to get a guy on that half wall. And the Hawks weren't doing it, and they got punished for it. And he's like, well, that's what happens. He's like, I tried.
I remember hearing him say that. Well, anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. You're probably going to listen to this on Tuesday, but Turkey Day is Thursday, so I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. The holiday season is starting. This is, I think, a great time, one of the best times of year, because, you know, you get to spend time with family, and, you know, the hockey's going to be on, and I think it's just a great time, man. So just want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. Me and Matt, we're very, very appreciative of all of the listenership that we've gotten and the love that we get from everybody on Twitter. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.